Welcome to the Grace and Truth podcast. This is yet another episode where we will be talking about biblical counseling. We have our guest speaker today, Teacher Dave. My name is Eric Kahure, and so we'll get right into it. So, Teacher Dave, we have had a whole week of biblical counseling. What would you say biblical counseling is? What is biblical counseling?
Well, I'm very indebted to Dr. Wayne Mack, who's one of the pioneers of the biblical counseling movement. And the definition that he has given is that biblical counseling is especially intensive, focused discipleship, of helping to make disciples of Christ, to help them to grow. And it focuses upon special needs and concerns of believers. That is a special focus.
Why would it be necessary to know about biblical counseling to be equipped in biblical counseling as we have this entire week?
Right. Well, a very basic reason is because back in the Garden of Eden, unfortunately, sin entered the world through the fall of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And so we live in a world that is under the curse of sin, and that means there are many problems that we encounter. Furthermore, we also have been affected by it, so that by nature we have a bad heart, we have a bad record, and we have a bad master, Satan. And so there are issues in our own lives and hearts. There are also the things we face that bring many problems and concerns.
Okay, so it's absolutely necessary. It's important for us to know about biblical counseling.
Absolutely, if we're going to be able to deal with these issues and concerns that we have, and to grow as Christians, to become better disciples of Christ.
And it goes back to the fall, because the human heart has been corrupted.
That's correct.
So then, thinking about biblical counseling, we know that there are other forms of counseling, secular forms of counseling. Mm-hmm. So what would be the difference between biblical counseling and these other forms of counseling, if there's any?
Okay, well, that's a very big question, and we can only give a very generic answer to. But basically, if we're contrasting biblical counseling with secular counseling, those are the opposite poles.
Yeah.
The difference would be that secular counseling does not include God, basically. God is not in the picture. Dealing with men's spiritual needs, this greatest need of the gospel is not in the picture. Yeah. And because of that, secular counseling will have a different description of what man's problems are, and they also have a different description of what the solutions are to those problems. There's also, I just mentioned, there also are attempts by Christians to put together secular counseling and biblical counseling. The difference between biblical counseling and those who try to integrate or bring together the two forms is that we, in biblical counseling, believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, that it is sufficient to be able to address non-physical and spiritual needs.
Mm. Looking at biblical counseling as different from secular counseling and or those other forms of counseling, would you say that biblical counseling is necessary for both believers and unbelievers?
Well, the very definition I gave you had to focus upon believers. And so it is to help especially believers deal with their concerns and their needs. The reason for that is that an unbeliever is really not able, according to the Word of God, to please God. He's not really able to obey God in a way that is satisfying to God. And because of that, because he does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, we are not able to bring to bear the Word of God in an effective way if he's not a Christian. And so with a non-believer, the first thing that they need is the gospel. They need the gospel of Christ. And if they come to us with a problem, we want to treat that problem seriously. We want to address that problem and to some degree. But in the process, we need to point them back to the fact that their biggest need is that they need to know the Lord Jesus. They need to trust him and repent of their sin.
So what I'm hearing you say is how to go about counseling for believers is to point them to Christ, whom they already know. And of course, while doing that, you're dealing with their problem.
Right, and we're dealing with it by applying the Bible in a very practical way to those specific problems.
Yeah, and then now dealing with unbelievers, the priority in counseling them would be pointing them to the gospel.
That is right.
So then it's possible to counsel even an unbeliever.
It is to a point, but if you get to a point where you're not, they're not really open yet to the gospel, you're very limited on what you're able to do to help them. There might be some external kinds of things you can assist them with, but really the great need is that they first need to know Christ. They need to have the Spirit of God in their heart helping them to change in their lives.
Yeah, because then the next question that I would have for you is, how do you go about counseling someone who has come to you and maybe they think that they are a Christian, but then in the process you realize that they are not?
You know, first of all, if they say they are a Christian, we will have a judgment of charity, kindness, and you will take it at face value until you have evidence to the contrary. But in the process of, you know, usually we'll want to hear their testimony, how they came to know the Lord, their understanding of the gospel. Often you will learn there through that there's some question. Or if they seem to know the gospel and have a good answer, as you go in the counseling process, if there's not a response to the Word of God and there's seems to be an unwillingness to do what God wants to do, that begins to raise some questions. And there might be a point at some time that at least would say, well, you know what, this is what the Bible says a Christian is like.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm having a hard time putting that together with the way you're responding right now.
So then again, you will have then to point them to the gospel.
Yes, absolutely. But we try to, as much as possible, through using the Word of God, to help them to come to make their own conclusion. As much as we're possibly able to do.
Okay. During this week that we have been having, you know, the counseling classes, there many people have come from different places, men and women, and others are pastors, others are not. And so on to my next question would be, who is to do biblical counseling?
Well, that's a good question. There's really a two-part answer to that.
Yeah.
First of all, most specifically, pastors should be doing biblical counseling. I think every pastor should view that as a crucial part of their toolkit, we could say, to do the work of ministry. But then the Bible also makes it clear that every believer to some degree is able to counsel or competent to counsel, like a beginning book in the counseling ministry was called Competent to Counsel. And so there's a sense in which we all counsel every day. It's whether do we counsel in a good way, a biblical way, or an unbiblical way.
Okay, so I have had an engagement with a friend. I've engaged with a friend who was kind of skeptical about starting a counseling session with a prayer or saying that, you know, that would be spiritualizing the entire process and you don't need to do that. What would you say to that?
Well, that reflects a failure to understand again what biblical counseling is all about. Because biblical counseling is again bringing the Word of God to bear in a practical way upon some area of the life where change is needed. And if you're going to do that, the Bible's very clear that just giving them the Bible is not enough. Yeah. That unless the Spirit of God takes that word and applies it to the heart in a very practical way, there will be no change. There will be no benefit that is realized. Well, we're dependent on the Spirit of God for that work to take place, bringing the Word of God, then we need to ask God for His help. We are dependent upon God, and we need to pray. And the one we're counseling needs to know that the help that he needs also has to come from God.
Thinking about biblical counseling as a whole, it sounds as if it's only a believer who can do it.
You know, it's only a believer, yes, who could do biblical counseling. He's the only one who has the heart and understanding that's capable of doing it as it should be done.
So then they themselves ought to be submitted to Christ, and they ought to believe in the sufficiency of the Scriptures so that they may be able to do counseling.
The sufficiency of Scripture and the sovereign power of God to transform lives through the gospel.
Okay. As a way of conclusion or as a summary, what would you say biblical counseling is and it entails in a way that someone would be able to understand that is biblical counseling?
Well, just a very brief summary. In many cases, what we're talking about, there are situations in life we face, how will we respond to them? Often we respond in an unbiblical way, which creates problems. Yeah. And so biblical counseling seeks to get down to what's going in my heart. Why am I wanting to respond to things in a wrong way instead of a right way? To understand what does the Bible say about what should be the desires of my heart. Help me to get a biblical understanding of the problem and how I should respond to it. And then to help me to develop a new habit pattern of response to the problems in life.
Thank you, Teacher Dave. It's a short period of time to be able to capture everything that biblical counseling entails, yet it's a good 10 minutes to be able to know what biblical counseling is, how to go about it, who is to do it. And so we thank God for it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Grace and Truth is brought to you by Reformation Hub Kenya. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Reformation Hub. Also visit our site, reformationhub.org.ke, for this and previous episodes.